and find your way to Ephesians chapter 3. We've always found that the best way to understand Scripture is let Scripture interpret itself. And so we've done a lot of turning to other verses. I'm going to try to make it a little bit simpler today, and there'll be just a couple times that I'll ask you to go to another reference. But I think there's enough right here in Ephesians chapter 3 that'll interpret itself. We started in this chapter last time, and I'm going to read again the first five verses where we've studied. We're going to include in our reading verse 6 and then and study those verses together today. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that these verses that are written down on this page, that tell us something that you had kept secret but now has revealed about the dispensing of your grace to us Gentiles and what it is that we've been made a part of through faith in Jesus Christ, we pray we'll leave here understanding that, appreciating it, rejoicing in it, and being able to share it with others. This is our prayer we ask in the Savior's name. Amen. We talked last time, and one of the things that I pointed out to you in these verses, and by the way, these verses are very, very popular to anybody who spend any time here at Grace Bible Church. They're verses that we said last week is the theme of our ministry. It's the heart of what we believe God is doing today, and if you want to do something for the Lord, you got to do what God's doing. A lot of times people have ideas that they want to do something for the Lord, but it's their idea that they go and do. What you want to do with your life is you want to find out what God would have you to do with it and then do that. And one of the things that's going to be real clear as you go down through this passage, it'll tell you what God is doing today and then therefore what you ought to do in response to that, especially as we get to the practical section of Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6. But in this chapter, it tells us what God is doing. Paul talks about himself as a prisoner for the Gentiles. He's in Rome and he's writing a letter to Gentiles. And it has to do with his ministry. See, Paul traveled all among the Gentiles, and as a result of that, it made some people who did not believe in Jesus Christ very upset. The Jewish unbelievers persecuted Paul as he went from city to city preaching to Gentiles, until finally when he showed up in Jerusalem, they caused a riot that caused his arrest. And eventually he ends up in a Roman prison waiting to appeal his case before Caesar, and as he's waiting there, he writes a letter to the Gentiles explaining that what his ministry is about. Verse 2 says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." When Paul talks about the mystery, according to those two verses, you put them together, the mystery is the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to Paul for him to give to us Gentiles. When it was given to him, you're going to see there, verse 3, how that by revelation. He received revelation of God as the apostle to the Gentile about what God would have us Gentiles know, what God would have us Gentiles receive from God. And what that is called, it's called the dispensation of the grace of God. Last week we took that word dispensation and we looked at what it meant in the Bible. And we began to understand that a dispensation was a steward who is the head servant who would delegate or give you your portion of meat in due season. That's the expression that's used in Luke chapter 12. But what that would be is a head steward is someone who's in charge of a rich man's estate. And the rich man would say to the steward, "I want these people to receive this wealth." And the steward then would go and give it. It's not his to give. It's the dispensing of the rich man's wealth. In this case, the rich man and the riches is God's wealth. And the Apostle Paul is God's steward who is bringing to us the wealth that God would want the Gentiles to receive. That wealth is called the dispensation of the grace of God. Grace is what God is bestowing upon the Gentiles. And it happens to be that when God used the Apostle Paul to do that, he had to interrupt what he was doing prior to the Apostle Paul, because God was not ministering to Gentiles before the Apostle Paul. God was using Peter and the 12 apostles to minister to the nation of Israel a kingdom, to offer them, to dispense to them a kingdom. So that when we come to this portion of Scripture, we begin to realize what God is doing today, what God would have us to receive from Him. But also, it begins to cause us to divide from what God was doing prior to Paul. Now, in your mind of your Bible, one of those things is to go all the way back, and one of the first things you see God dispensing is when He called Abraham, He started to give to Abraham some covenants and promises. And God was dispensing some covenants and promises to this world through Abraham and to his seed, which was going to be the nation of Israel. But along later in time, you come to Moses. And when God called Moses, most of us know what God gave to Moses to dispense, don't we? It was law. Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai, God gave him the law, and Moses was the one who would take the law and dispense it to the nation of Israel. Here's the laws that Israel was supposed to live under for God, in order to be for God's glory and to receive God's blessings. So in prior dispensations, there was the dispensation of promise, there was the dispensation of law. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. John, that is John the Baptist. You begin reading what's called the New Testament of your Bible, it begins with the ministry of John the Baptist. The law and the prophets are now over, now John is preaching something, and what the Bible says, it says, since John, all men are pressing into the kingdom. John began to preach the good news that the kingdom of heaven was coming, and that was part of the promises to the nation of Israel, and John dispensed the kingdom program, and the 12 apostles were called of Jesus Christ to dispense to the nation of Israel the offer of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ had come to be Israel's king and would set up the kingdom through them. And then as their ministry is going on, all of a sudden in the book of Acts, God saves the Apostle Paul. No more is there an offer of the kingdom to the nation of Israel. Now God moved away from the nation of Israel, and God is sending the Apostle Paul out to speak to the Gentiles. And you know what God wants dispensed now? He wants His grace dispensed to Gentiles. You know what grace is? Grace is getting what you do not deserve and cannot earn. It's getting the favor of God by a gift. And that gift is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by the cross that God was able to minister to this world and to dispense His grace unto all mankind and give us an opportunity to be saved and to live in God's grace forever. Because Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid on the cross the payment of all man's sins. And God chose the Apostle Paul and revealed that truth to him and sent him out to preach it to the Gentiles, and some people didn't like that. And Paul ends up in jail. But as being in jail, now he writes to us about this mystery. God never made known before that He was going to interrupt His dealings with Israel to send grace to the whole world through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the kingdom, apart from the law, apart from the promises that He made to the nation of Israel. Just dispensing grace. And you know, God for the last 2,000 years has been doing this. How do I know He's still doing it today? Well, if you read the back of the Bible, you find out what's going to be dispensed next. And you begin to read in the book of Revelation about the wrath of the Lamb. And you know, the next thing that God's going to dispense on this earth is His wrath. This world, for the most part, has rejected His Son. It rejected God the Father before the cross, rejected Jesus Christ at the cross, and it rejected the Holy Spirit that came into the world after Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit ministers in believers preaching now, most people turn down the message of grace, the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they think that all things are just going to continue as they are from the beginning, and that's not going to happen that way. When you read the back of this book, when you read after Paul's epistles, you begin to find out that the next thing God is going to dispense, He's going to dispense through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, wrath against this world and judgment against this world. And then He'll bring the kingdom in as He had promised. So these are dispensations that the Bible talks about, and we know where we are right now. We have the fortunate opportunity to be living in the day in which God's message to the whole world is grace and peace, an offer of salvation, a gift of God's favor and acceptance through the Lord Jesus Christ, who took sin out of the way by dying for it on the cross, who took the law that was against us and put it to the cross and took it away so it's not there to condemn us anymore. And God now is receiving us on the basis of grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul says, boy, this is the message that God by revelation made known unto me. And he says again in verse 3, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, as you know, as I look through those verses just up to verse 5, I realize there's three things that I want you to see so plain from Ephesians 3 that I don't have to take you anywhere else concerning the dispensation of the grace of God. The first thing I want you to realize is what we've mentioned, that it was a mystery. A mystery in the sense that it was a secret. That's when you read verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. A mystery in your Bible doesn't mean it was mysterious, that God would do something spooky. What he's saying there is that what God is doing today, none of the Old Testament prophets, you go back here, none of the prophets talked about that. They all talked about the first coming of Jesus Christ, his suffering, and the wrath that would follow. But what interrupted the time of Christ's coming and his death, burial, and resurrection after that point and before his wrath is poured out, what interrupted that is God dispensing grace because of the cross. Rather than man at the world because of the cross provided the means by which God could be gracious to the world. And that was never known before. The sons of men never knew that because that was a secret purpose that God had in the cross that he never told the Old Testament prophets. So the first thing that you see about the dispensation of the grace of God under which we live today, it was a mystery, it was a secret. It wasn't made known in other ages. Look down in verse 9. Paul says that it was his purpose to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Now, you know, a secret is something that you, if you and I share a secret, I guarantee you'll leak it out. Hardly anybody can be a perfect, you know, it's one of those things, I won't tell everybody, I'll just tell one person because it's a secret. We can't hold a secret. And when God decided to keep a secret, he hid it somewhere, and that verse 9 tells you where he hid it. He didn't hide it in the Bible, in the Old Testament. He didn't hide it in the prophets. He didn't hide it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. He hid it in himself, and then we read where it was revealed in verse 3 to Paul, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. It was a mystery until he revealed it to Paul, but it was hid in God. And so when you read about the dispensation of the grace, the age in which we're living in today, it's a wonderful age. It's an age in which God is calling out and receiving all who will come unto him through the Lord Jesus Christ. That you can be in God's favor because God is being gracious, because he can be now that the cross has dealt with sin. And that wasn't known before, but it's now revealed. For your own writing, you might want to write down Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, where it says it was hid from ages and from generations. The Bible keeps trying to tell you it was a secret not known until it was revealed to Paul. It says it so many ways. It says it wasn't made known to the sons of men. It was hid in God. It was hid from ages and generations. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 said it was kept secret since the world began. That's a long time. Adam and Eve didn't know about this. It was kept secret since the world began. But another thing that I want you to know about the dispensation of the grace of God is verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The first thing about the dispensation in which we're living of the grace of God, it was a mystery kept secret. By the way, the reason it was kept secret, one of the reasons, as we're told in 1 Corinthians, is that if the princes of this world, who are under the influence of Satan, the god of this world, had they known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They never knew what he was accomplishing. It was a secret because of what was being accomplished in the cross, Satan would have never had a part. Satan thought he was defeating Christ at the cross. But instead, Christ was using Satan to bring salvation to the world at the cross. So it was kept a secret. But the next thing that I want you to know is that the mystery of the dispensation of the grace of God is now revealed. The now comes in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Some people look at verse 5, the end of verse 5, which says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. They try to say a couple things. First, they say, it wasn't made known as it is now revealed. In other words, it was revealed, it's just not revealed as it is now. No, the as means it wasn't made known at all as it is now finally made known, because that's the whole point. It was a mystery until revealed. That's the point of the verse. The other thing is they try to say, well, it wasn't just given to Paul, it was given to the apostles and prophets. But we studied already, and we'll study it more when we get to chapter 4, the order of apostles and prophets. That's church apostles and church prophets because of the order there. You know who started churches? The apostle Paul did. And he went to the Gentiles and he started churches, and there were some who worked with him who became apostles with him, and then others in churches who became prophets, but it was after Paul was already revealed the mystery and went out to the Gentiles. Paul got it first. That's why in verse 3 when it says, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. He had to reveal it to Paul because it was kept secret until revealed to Paul. And that's why it was given to Paul to give to us. And so now the mystery is made known. Now when we say the mystery is now made known, the mystery of the dispensation of God is made known, do you realize it's God's heart's desire now for everybody to know about this? We could talk all about the mystery, but it's not a mystery no more. It's a mystery that was a mystery, but it's now revealed. Why is it revealed? It's something God wants everybody to know about. God wants you to take the message of His grace and share it with everybody you can, because that's God's heart desire. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and died, He didn't just die for your sins. He died for the sins of the world. God is being gracious not just to the group that are sitting here in this assembly today. God is being gracious to this whole world, even atheistic countries. God is being gracious to today. He's not sending His wrath. He's not bringing lightning bolts out of heaven. He's not bringing the plagues of revelation upon this earth. He's being gracious to everybody. Why? He wants all men to be saved. And so if that's true, then I just bring you down to verse 9, that it is our job, like it was Paul's job, where he said in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Boy, if God had a secret that was so wonderful He couldn't make it known until He played Satan and used Satan to make a means by which He could be gracious to everyone in the world and save everybody who would come to Him through Christ, and then now all the work is done and now it's revealed, it's God's heart desire for everybody to get that message out. That's why when I look at Ephesians chapter 3, we might be talking about familiar verses, but we are talking about what God wants done as long as the dispensation of the grace of God lasts. And after this age, there'll be another message to carry to the world. It's trust Christ or be damned, because His wrath is falling. And that salvation is not going to be an easy salvation, because you're going to have to go through some real hard times in order to endure to the end to be saved. But the point is, now is the age of grace. And it's God's desire for all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We'll talk about the fellowship of the mystery in a little bit, but you realize He wants the world to know this grace of His that's being dispensed to everyone, how they could be saved through the Lord Jesus. And it's you and I, if we care at all what God cares about, that's what we'll share with people. You know, the other thing I can't help but see in that verse, verse 9 says, and to make all men see. Now, I know that this would be eyes of perception to understand. But you know, people aren't going to understand the grace of God unless they can see it in us. And you know, when I think about that, the grace of God is not just that God will save you in your sinful state, but that His grace will change your sinful state. And one of the things that God wants to do is He wants to save your soul, and He wants to work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure, so that the grace that saved you changes your life. Titus tells us that, doesn't he? The grace of God that hath appeared unto all men teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we ought to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what it teaches us. So when I look down in verse 9 and it says, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, I realize for me to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, I have to be real clear in what I say so I can express the truth of the gospel, but I've got to be also real careful in how I live, because they're going to judge it by looking at me. And I'm going to have to show them grace. Our brother Carl Trimboli shared the Sunday school a verse. Boy, when that verse hit me, the verse I was going to give you is in Colossians. I want you to come over to Ephesians chapter 5. And he quoted us verse 29. Is that what verse, Carl?
429.
Oh, it's 429. 429. You didn't hardly have to turn. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace to the hearers. So Notice the negative there. The way that you're going to minister grace to the hearer, and that's what we're supposed to do, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What's the mystery? The dispensation of the grace of God. We have to minister grace to the hearers. And the way we do that is, it says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now watch the positive. Go two books to the right, to the book of Colossians. Colossians and Ephesians are books that repeat, almost more than three-quarters of the verses of Ephesians are repeated again in Colossians, but sometimes they're said just a little bit differently. Watch how it says the same thing in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 6. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. In other words, it says, let your speech always be with grace. And Ephesians starts out, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what grace is? Undeserved mercy, unmerited favor. Someone, you don't have to speak evil about someone, you know why? Because if you're going to live grace, you're going to accept them unconditionally, just the way they are, because that's how God accepts us. And we don't earn each other's favor. We don't have to merit each other's favor. But if we're going to have grace living in our life, we're going to accept each other as they are and minister to them so that more grace can be in their life. Now, how do we do that? Well, you don't do that by speaking evil. How do you do it? You speak grace seasoned with salt so it can minister to them. So when we talk about the grace of God, we can talk about the grace of God to the whole world, but then we have to have the grace of God in our life and in our relationship one to another. Otherwise, people will never see what is the fellowship of the mystery. They'll say, where is it? It's not here. I don't see it. It's up to you and I to take the grace of God, bring it into our life, and let it come out our mouth, let it come out of our life, let it be right in our heart, and how we care about one for another. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 3. The other thing that it says concerning the mystery, we've learned that the dispensation of the grace of God, number one, it was a mystery. Number two, it's now revealed. It's no longer a mystery. It's for everybody to see and to enjoy and to appreciate and be a part of. The third thing is that the mystery of the dispensation of the grace of God can only be understood today by reading Paul's epistles. What verse 3 told us, it says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Okay, so he made known unto Paul. But now watch what he says right after that in parentheses. Ephesians 3:3, the parentheses says, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The mystery that's now revealed about the dispensing of God's grace, you're only going to learn about it in Paul's epistles. Because God used Moses to dispense law. When you read the books of Moses, you're reading law. You won't learn about grace there, you'll learn about law. When you come to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where they were dispensing the kingdom, you won't learn about the dispensation of the grace of God there, you'll learn about the kingdom that's going to come about through the nation of Israel. When you come over here to the book of Revelation and read about the wrath of God that's going to fall there, you're not going to read about the grace of God there, you're going to be reading about the wrath of God that's going to fall. If Paul says, when you read my writings, then you'll know what God has revealed to me about the dispensation of the grace of God. That tells you that the books of Romans to Philemon, those are the books written by the Apostle Paul, those are the books in which tell you how God is working today, what God is doing today, and if you care at all about what God would have you to know and how God would have you to live and how he is ministering to you, you get it from Paul's epistles. That's the only place you can get it. That's what Paul says there. And so it's revealed, but it's revealed, and we find it, because Paul's not here to preach to us, we find it here in Paul's writings. And then he says, as I wrote afore in few words. Where did he write before in few words? Well, in the book of Ephesians, we read a little bit about it. If you're in Ephesians, look back to chapter 1. Look verse 9. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that's eternity future, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. See, he wrote about it afore in few words, didn't he? We read about it a little bit more if you come over to Ephesians chapter 2, where in verse 11, where he says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye that were sometimes far off are made nigh. And then he goes on to explain what God is now doing. Paul wrote about these things before in few words, and Paul's now telling us in Ephesians 3, he's putting it all together for us to see it all as a capsule, and reminding us if we want to know about the age of grace, we got to see it in Paul's writings. Now, one of the other things that I want you to see, I said I was going to have you turn, and that Colossians didn't count. I want you to hold your place here. I want you to see a verse, for those who have never seen this verse, in 2 Peter. So go to your right, you're getting pretty close to the book of Revelation, but go to 2 Peter chapter 3. If we want to learn what God's doing today, what God would have us know today, Paul says we got to find it in his writings. When you come over here to Peter, this is the Apostle Peter, again ministering to the nation of Israel. And look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Here's what he's looking for. He says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall burn with fervent heat. Well, when you go to Peter, he don't talk about the grace of God, does he? He's over here like talking like the book of Revelation, the judgment of God that's going to come onto this world. But the judgment hasn't come. And Peter wants you to understand why the judgment has not yet come. He says in verse 15, he says, an account that the long-suffering of a Lord, that is the delay of Jesus Christ coming back in vengeance and in judgment. Think of it this way. That's what it means to account. Think of it this way. That the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You realize Peter takes Paul's scriptures and puts them in a separate category and calls them his scriptures, and they're different than the other scriptures. But if you want to know what God's doing today, it's salvation. And you know how you got to know about it? Go to what Paul wrote down, and in his writings you'll know about it. Peter said, it's hard for me to understand. You know why it was hard for Peter to understand? It wasn't given to him by revelation about the age of grace. He knew all about the kingdom that's going to come and the wrath that's going to come before that. But if you want to know what Paul is, what God revealed to Paul and what God is doing in the delay of his wrath and his kingdom, you've got to read Paul's epistles. Isn't that clear? You know, this Bible, if we were left without this Bible telling us how to interpret it, you realize if you sat down and said, I want to know God, you start out in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you'd read, and you wouldn't get through Genesis. You'd be bored out of your skull and have no understanding of what God's doing. And then you'd read all about the law and say, man alive, what temple I got to go to? What sacrifice? Well, I got to get right with God. How do I do that? And you'd read, and you'd read, and you'd read, and you'd be scared to death that you're going to hell and you're going to fall under the judgment of God. But you know, the Bible will tell you how to divide it. It'll tell you where to go to get God's instructions for this age and what God wants you to do to be saved. If salvation today is unmerited and undeserved, that means you don't work for it, and you can't earn it. That salvation, if grace means a gift of God, and it's through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's nothing to do for a gift except receive it. And you know how God wants you to receive his salvation today? He don't want you to try to earn it. He don't want you to try to work for it. He wants you to see that it's done 2,000 years ago by the payment Jesus Christ made, and he wants to lavish it on you. He wants to give you the riches of his grace. And what you got to do to make it yours is you got to, by faith, believe that Jesus Christ paid it all. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and the salvation that God wants you to have is yours as a gift from him. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Ephesians 3, 6, and I'm going to perhaps cover this quicker than I should, but I want you to see what I just said again. Ephesians chapter 3. When it says in verse 5, concerning this mystery of the dispensation of God's grace, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That verse 6 gives you a definition of what the mystery is. And some people get a little afraid of the definition. When it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise, the terms that Paul is using here, he's talking about a great oneness that has been formed now that God began to dispense his grace. And that great oneness is called that we as Gentiles can be fellow heirs. Well, Jews could always be an heir of God. They were offered an inheritance of God. But now we as Gentiles, we're fellow heirs. But we're not just fellow heirs in the sense that we're joining Israel's inheritance. What God was forming with the nation of Israel was called a nation. And they were going to get a land. When we started reading in Ephesians 1:11, Paul says, ye also have obtained an inheritance. We don't steal theirs. God gave us one. And when he says fellow heirs, he's talking about us as Gentiles, and those Jews who will now believe are going to share a common inheritance that we have as members of the body of Christ. When it says, I want you to see that the word, when it says fellow heirs, when it says same body, and when it says partakers, that is a Greek prefix. Like if I would say something, we could preview, precede, I had a third one in mind, it jumped out of my mind, prefix, it doesn't matter. That pre in front of those words tell us something that's the true of all those words. They're all something's before. In this case, the word fellow, the word same, and the word partaker is telling us there's something of a joining together. There's a creating of a oneness here. For instance, when it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, it says the same word is used in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, when it says that we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, you know what a joint heir is, don't you? That means you join as part of the inheritance that Christ is going to receive. We're joint heirs with Christ. And the great oneness that's being talked about here is almost a trinity of people. It's Gentiles who were cut off from God, Israel who got cut off from God, now both of those offered by God's grace the opportunity to be brought into his fellowship, and through faith in Jesus Christ, the Gentile who now believes, the Jew who now believes, join a fellow inheritance with one person in Christ. That is, now if you believe as a Gentile, and as a Jew would believe as a Gentile, they're going to have a shared inheritance in Jesus Christ. We're going to be joint heirs with Christ. That's what God's doing today. Never did ever you read in the Old Testament that a Jew and Gentile would share an inheritance. Gentiles were going to get the crumbs that fell off Israel's table. But God's doing something new. It's a different inheritance that we have, but it's one with Jesus Christ. The other one, it says, and of the same body. The prefix that you could use here, we could just like we could call it a joint heir, we could call it a joint body. God was building a nation. He wasn't going to join Gentiles to that nation unless in the Old Testament a Gentile got circumcised. Then he could be received as one of the nation of Israel, but he was no longer a Gentile then in people's mind. But what God's doing today is he's going to take a Jew and he's going to take a Gentile and he's going to join them together in what? The Bible tells us in the body of Christ. It says, just go back a chapter, look in chapter 2. It says that he might reconcile both, that's a Jew and a Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and preach peace to you that were far off and to them that were nigh. There's a peace being offered to both of us because we've both been cut off and we can now be both reconciled unto God in one body according to verse 16. And that one body according to verse 15 is called one new man, so making peace. God created something new in the age of grace. He's not building a nation anymore. He's taking a Jew and a Gentile and he's reconciling them together into one joint body called the body of Christ. It's the church which is his body. Now that church which is his body, we share an inheritance together. We share a fellowship together as being in one body in Christ. And the third thing that it says, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You know, there was salvation that was always promised in the Old Testament. It was coming through the seed, and then it was coming through the nation of Israel, and that seed was the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was always going to be coming through the nation of Israel. But now, Jew and Gentile together are made partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. And I want you to enclose to understand it this way. Come over with me now to the last reference, Galatians chapter 3, where we had our scripture reading. We have been made, it said, partakers, a joint taker of the promise in Christ by the gospel. The word gospel means good news. It has to do with good news of your salvation. You read in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17, "And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God," where? "In Christ. The law which was 430 years afterwards cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect." The Bible starts talking about a covenant, a promise that God made in Christ. And I want you to just understand this, and just listen to me and you'll understand it. It says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it talks about in hope of eternal life, in which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What a promise. God made a promise before the world began that there would be eternal life in Jesus Christ. Who did he promise that to? Couldn't promise to you. You didn't live then. Adam and Eve didn't live then. It was before the world began. Who did he promise it to? He promised it to his son. He made an eternal covenant back before the world began. And he said to his son, "I'm going to create this world, and this world's going to go to sin. I'm going to ask you to go into this world and die on the cross for their sins. And those who put their faith in you, I'm going to give them eternal life." And God made that promise to his son years ago. And God, who cannot lie, is going to keep that promise to his son. And Ephesians is telling us that you and I have been made partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Look at this promise, verse 21. "Is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have came by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ," by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, "might be given to them that believe." You know what God wants you to do today? He wants you to believe on his Son. He promised his Son that all who would believe on him, he'd give them everlasting life. In the age of grace, this is part of the dispensation, the dispensing of God's grace, is that you and I as Gentiles are made partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. How do you partake? Did you take it? You can't partake until you take, right? How do you take it? That verse tells you, by believing. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, and trust him to be your Savior, and the fact that you are saved because you believed on him, you've just taken salvation. And it's become yours. And God, who cannot lie, promised you eternal life.